stop being distracted by things that are not God. And I can tell you from my professional and spiritual opinion, your wounding, your all this trauma and things that happen to you, they are not you. I can no longer sit by and watch anybody fall under the wheels of these tanks. I can't do it. I can't do it anymore. I can't do it. It's breaking my heart. So I'm here to do what I can to help people get on their feet.
Hey there, it's Ramsey here. That was Robin O'Donovan. To the fans of her music, she's known as Killarney Star. To hundreds of her passengers, she's known as the Lyft driver who gives expert relationship advice during the ride. I knew her in grade school as a shy and quiet girl. I didn't notice her much, but today I see a talented, kind, inspired woman dedicating her life to reaching out and helping others. Robin has powerful faith and sees herself as an empath and light worker for God. She is starting up a new support group called What's Real, and you can learn more online at liftedby.love. At first I thought that was a riff off of her Lyft driving, but now I think it is Robin who is lifted by love, lifted by God's love, to take her wounding and trauma and turn those around to bless others through her music and her coaching. See what you think. Let's begin. Hey, Robin. How are you doing today?
Hey, Ramsey. I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. You know, I'm so excited to have this discussion with you today. It's really fun. You know, you and I went to school together when we were kids, but didn't really know each other that great, that well. So looking forward to getting to know you better through all of this. And I reached out to you recently through Facebook just because I saw that you were posting some really interesting things and things that you were doing. You know, let me introduce you just a little bit to the audience. Robin O'Donovan, you are a mom and a love and life purpose coach. You drive for Lyft sometimes, and you're a musician, also known as Killarney Star, and which is your stage name. So let's start there. Let's tell me more about Killarney Star and your music and what that was all about.
Well, I have been playing the piano since I was three. We're the same age, so you know how long that is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just such a fundamental part of who I am. My music. I mean, by playing the piano, I say like literally making up songs, making up music, kind of singing along to them. Sometimes when I was away from the piano, I was often singing or humming to myself. And I got that from my mother. She was very musical, and, you know, several musical fit members of my family. It's just always been something that is a really important way for me to connect to myself. And as I grew older, I understood it's the way for me to connect to God and just to connect to other people. And I feel very fortunate that my parents encouraged me, and they got me lessons by the time I was six. And I ended up going on to get a degree in music therapy and psychology. And just there were times in my life where I put my music on the shelf for a bit, but for the most part, I've been performing, writing songs, recording for most of my adult life. So it still is something that it kind of gets put on the back burner, you know, in trying to provide for your family and do other, you know, other interests. But it really is the fundamental core of who I am. And now I feel like my songs, for some years now, I've felt like my angels, like, you know, and God speaks through me in my songs. And sometimes my songs will come down to me almost whole. You know, I don't usually struggle to write songs. I don't sit down and be like, oh, what line should I write next? Like, they just tend to flow out of me, interestingly enough. And so I can talk more about my songs, but it's just, it is my greatest blessing. And I feel blessed with many gifts, but my music is the gift that keeps on giving, just to me alone. And I hope to other people, you know, as I share that. So thanks for asking.
Yeah, so it sounds like it's something that has been with you kind of your whole life, pretty much. And yeah, that's really wonderful. And something that you've been doing more recently is driving for Lyft, I understand, but it's not sort of a normal Lyft experience, right? What makes your what makes your ride special for the people in the back seat?
Everybody gets in my car and they're like, "Wait, what? Whoa, my gosh!" Because I have a sign in the back of my car, in the like on the back seat, and it's taken several iterations through the months. I've been driving for Lyft now for about 10 months, 9 or 10 months, and I drive in a college town. So and I have to probably fill in a little bit backstory about this, but to answer your question, the sign in my car in the back seat says, "How can I help you today? I'm a relationship expert. Ask me anything." And people ask me anything. People share the most beautiful stories and the most vulnerable questions. And not all of them. Some of them are a little more cut and dry, but I did this because I can't stop coaching. I've been a coach, for a few years now, off and on, really, for about 6 years. And I had to, I felt a need to put my coaching on hold last summer. And I wanted to do something to bring in income that literally just was kind of not thoughtless, but was just didn't require a whole lot of mental bandwidth because I was going through some stuff and I just really needed to hunker down and focus on my healing. But a few weeks into it, I'm like, but I can't stop coaching. And like, the sign started out as a handwritten sign. I think I first was telling people like I'm a life purpose expert because I have been a life purpose coach for a couple of years. But I soon realized like that's kind of a deep topic for a 10-minute car ride. And so when I started putting I'm a relationship expert because that's something I had been helping my life purpose clients with as well, people just bloomed and opened up, and it's been quite the journey. It's been really fun to help people in that way. People are like, "Are you for real? You're an expert. You're a relationship expert." I'm like, "Yeah, you got 10 minutes. I do free coaching in the car. Hit me. What you got?"
So how much can you accomplish in 10 minutes with somebody who's like, fresh into the car?
That's a great question. So I've honed this process and I can now, it depends. Most people get it that they only have a few minutes. And so most people manage to encapsulate their story and don't go a really long time. And if they do, then I'm able to pinpoint pretty quickly, what's going on for them in their childhood. That's something that I perfected over, well, I think I'd say over probably 600 or 700 people doing this with. I have, yes, it's been a lot. It's been, and for me, it started out as kind of like a fun thing. And then I was like, really what this is like, I'm getting paid to run a marketing experiment here because I wanted to take the pulse on like, where are people in the world today with their relationships? Like, what is really bothering them? And I noticed the same questions coming up. And so that's a little bit of how I can get so far in 10 minutes too, is because I hear a lot of the same things over and over. And I
So what
know,
are they? What are you
yeah,
hearing?
yeah. So the top, okay. So some of the top things are, and you got to understand, it's a mix of college students, a lot of college students that I drive. And then, I'd say probably like millennials, like working people. And a few people more, our age, Gen X. But for the most part, it's younger people, and they are just always in the middle of some breakup or drama, and they want to know should they get back together with the person. It's either that, or if they're not with somebody, they want to know how can I find love? Or the third most common thing is they'll get in my car and they'll read my sign and they go, "Oh, I like your sign. I'm not in a relationship. So I guess I don't need help." And I love those people. And I say, the number one relationship is with yourself slash God. And nobody ever disagrees with me. Everyone's like, "Yeah, you're right." And most people are like, "You're right, and I should work on that." You know, it's, I'm not trying to like call people out in a affronting way, but I am trying to call people out in a loving way to just be aware, just pay more attention to the things that drive the drama in our relationships.
And how is it that you're so good at this? I mean, besides getting a ton of practice, but you know, is it your training? Is it your background? Is it both? Like, what makes you skilled at this?
Well, I grew up, I had a very traumatic childhood for a number of reasons, for a number of years. And I won't detail that today, but I was forced from an early age to really take a very psychological perspective and be trying to figure people out. It really became, honestly, a survival skill. And as such, it was kind of natural that I, you know, grew up and got a degree in music therapy and psychology. And I practiced music therapy for a number of years in the healthcare system, and especially with psych patients on psych wards. I naturally have a very analytical nature. My brain is really, one of my gifts is that my brain's really good at quickly organizing and assimilating new information. So when somebody says to me, and finding the connections between, that's how I do it. My trick is I find the connections quickly between, for example, if someone's telling me their story, I'm listening, but I'm also like getting to the heart of it. And as soon as they're done, I'll be like, well, I wonder if in your childhood you had a parent who was doing this, or maybe this happened to you. And I've never been wrong. Every single time the person's like, yeah, because I have learned through my schooling, through my degree, you know, through my career, and I didn't stay in music therapy long, but I went into sales. I went into marketing, which all very much requires a really good grasp of psychology and of empathy and of like really putting yourself in the other person's shoes, thinking ahead. I'm humbled to have this gift of being able to connect behaviors that aren't working for people with their possible childhood wounding. And my intention in the car is not to get so deep that I'm like, you know, someone's crying, although I've had people just immediately
yeah,
open
somewhere
up.
To be. I just mean, immediately come on, open like... up.
Well, no, at night, like the thing is at night, the thing is people know, they know. They know their own boundaries.
Okay.
It's a very good point. I've never had, like, I'm never dropping someone off at work and they've asked me. Like, people going to work are quiet.
Okay.
It's always at night or in the afternoon if I'm taking people home. That is a great point. And I never really thought about that, but that's actually the truth. Like, people kind of know not to open up too much. But, you know, if I'm taking them home from the airport, you know, they just came back from some kind of trip or something like that. And they're already processing things. That's a big one because airport trips are long. Mm-hmm. But I guess that's a little bit about my background. And then just being a life coach, a life purpose coach, one of the things that I was helping my clients do specifically was come home to the truth of who you are and learn to love yourself. Like I have this whole daily practice of self-love, the 7 laws of self-love that I was teaching my clients before. So that's why when people get in my car and they're like, I know I'm not in a relationship. I'm like, but consider this, that you are in a relationship with yourself. How's that going? You know, sometimes I ask it like that.
So you're bringing it back out of the car, right? You're starting up a new group. Tell me more about the group that you're starting up.
Yes. And it's so funny because when I put my coaching, you know, on some kind of hold last summer to really work on my own healing, things that were coming up, I wasn't sure I'd ever go back to coaching. And I had some reasons for that, but I felt really called. I have felt really called by God because of spending so much time with so many people who obviously need some answers. They need direction. They need help to get back into this. And I thought this is something I have worked on for months. I thought about it. Sometimes I would talk to people and I'd put little signs in the car and, you know, say, go to this website, check this out. I have had kind of some test versions and quizzes and different things. And I wanted it to be very simple. I wanted it to be accessible and affordable for people. I didn't want to get back into, I used to be a high ticket coach, and I didn't want it to be this whole thing where like you're signing up for this whole organized program. I want it to be where somebody can come and get answers that day, that hour, and something actionable for them that helps them regulate their nervous system. If they're emotionally dysregulated, it helps them make sense of relationships with destructive personalities like narcissism, avoidance. That's something I really specialize in, those kind of relationships. Somebody that wants answers about like, you know, should I stay or should I go? And I never, ever give, I never give people the answer of that. That is not my place. I just ask them, I help them ask more questions. I help them ask more questions so they can come to what they should think should be the next natural step to explore that decision. But that kind of thing, like, I just want this to be something where, and I want it to be a safe haven. And this is really the, my group is actually not for everybody. It's like anybody and everybody gets in my car, but who I feel called to really serve is the people of my tribe, which is the empaths, and I call them light workers, the people who are trying to be on this path of helping other people, but they keep getting spiraled down from dramatic stuff happening in their relationships. And if you're listening and you know who you are, if this is ringing a bell with you, because you're probably the one looking around going, look at the rest of my family. Everybody's happily married. Or look at my friends. Like, how come they don't have drama in their lives? They just have a normal job. And, you know, they are not constantly sucked into things and emotionally overloaded and overwhelmed. And I know now, I was there, and I know now why certain ones of us get really sucked into that. And it just has everything to do with our childhood wounding. And that's what I want to help people understand and own and heal from.
So you said empaths and light workers. Talk a little bit more about, so they likely know who they are, but talk to me more about kind of who that group of people is, and maybe why and how they are. Maybe you said vulnerable, maybe you didn't, but that's what I got out of it. Why are they vulnerable to certain things and certain people?
Yes, that's a great question. They are. I haven't used that word yet, but I will. It definitely is why I'm starting this group, because I feel that empaths are much more vulnerable. So an empath is someone who feels other people's emotions to the point that we feel the collective spirit of emotions. So right now, in 2024, as we all know, there is an excessive amount of turmoil and conflict and baited anticipation and squeeze from all directions going on. And that's causing a lot of people a lot of stress, a lot of frustration, a lot of sadness, a lot of despair, a lot of anger. And those of us who are empaths can feel not only our, you know, partner that we live with, not only their emotions, our children, our parents, our friends, but we can feel that collective anguish and despair that a portion of society is hitting the wall with at this point. And I want so much to be a lighthouse for these folks, for my tribe, because I have been there, and I now know how to protect yourself from getting sucked down into like just the collective, but also from getting sucked down into people near you, their drama and their wounding, and how to stand on your own two feet and like be more solid and grounded in who you are. And so the empaths, they are the people who had trauma as a kid. They survived the most trauma as kids. We all have trauma in our background, whether we want to admit it or not. Nobody's parents raised them perfectly. We're human. Nobody's able to do that. But some people, there is some lines of humans whose generations keep looping and perpetuating many, many layers of trauma. Not just one thing, but many layers of very severe, crazy trauma. And that tends to be my empaths. It tends to be my HSPs, highly sensitive persons. Some people even put HSPs on the autism spectrum. So that, you know, sensitive to noise, sensitive to being startled, sensitive to being made fun of, sensitive to practical jokes, sensitive to, you know, music, sensitive to so many things, sensitive to smells. It's like, I'm not here to talk about autism and I'm not a doctor, so I can't draw that line. But I do know that those things cross over a lot into highly sensitive people who identify as empaths.
And what does stress and trauma and things like that do to a person? Because, you know, there are significant effects, not just as it's happening, but they continue on and they manifest in many different ways, right?
Yes, yes. One of the biggest ways is in what we call complex post-traumatic stress disorder. So everybody's familiar with PTSD, and myself even, for most of my life, when I heard the term PTSD, even when I was in college and learning about all this and learning the, you know, the DSM and diagnosis and all this, I was like, oh, that's something that happens to veterans. That's something that happens to people in war. I never connected until much more recently in my adult life that I am a victim of PTSD. Like I never connected that. And complex PTSD is when there's like, there wasn't just, you know, a bomb blast that took your leg off. There was so many things through so many years that have built up this crazy soup of triggers of, you know, and so a trauma is not like, I'm not walking around with trauma. It's more like, I mean, trauma is like the event that already happened, but what you walk around with is your cells storing your reaction to that. And because your cells store the reaction to that, if you have like all these trauma, little traumas, big traumas over the years, you're literally walking around, you know, I like to say like your nervous system can be really jacked up, like, to, you know, it can be like this all the time, like fight or flight all the time. And you don't even realize it. And some people are like, oh, I'm just anxious. I just have anxiety. Oh, I just have ADHD or ADD, you know, or, you know, I have anger issues. I don't cope very well. Well, those are, I'm not a doctor, but in my experience, those can be symptoms of this bigger umbrella, which is, you know, the complex post-traumatic stress disorders. Now, those of us who had all this trauma in childhood, it's now coming to light. This is recent research, but it's now coming to light that CPTSD is all of us that have had like a bunch of trauma in childhood. We're definitely suffering from that right now. And that's what causes people to be like on edge, never finish a project, never have the confidence in themselves to like, you know, be the entrepreneur they want to be. And yet working for someone else feels really constricting and really overwhelming and really triggering. And you're just like, you get to a point in your life where you're like, how can I exist in this world? Because everything doesn't work for me. And I have been there. And that's what, it's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. It's constricting and overwhelming. And I just, people don't realize there's a way to put all the dots together. Yeah. To move forward from that.
Yeah. So putting the dots together. So what do you do with that? Right. Because I guess you either try to cope and you try to, you know, kind of everyone kind of tries to live their lives as best as they can and muddle through, yeah. You know, is it a matter of coping and muddling through, or is it a matter of learning and deeply understanding, you know, what happened to you previously in order to do something different or something about it? Like, I don't know, like what does the process look like to make it to the other side?
Yes. And there's really not just one process, but I definitely believe you hit the nail on the head. The first, you know, one of the first steps is to connect the dots, is to make the connection between like behaviors and things that aren't working for me. And how could this be connected to things that happened to me in my childhood? Now, myself having been through a lot of therapy over the years at different times in my life, I'm not really a fan of talk therapy and having to talk through the entire trauma again, because that can be very triggering and traumatizing. But to answer the second part of your question, what do you do with that once you've made that connection? There are a number of treatment modalities that are, you know, a lot of professionals specialize in. I don't claim to specialize in any one treatment modality. My goal is to have this support group where we start connecting the dots, because for a lot of people, a lot of change can be made just by connecting those dots. And then having a safe space in which to process, connect, let those emotions out is also very, very important. You know, crying and working through your emotions never killed anyone, but people are so afraid of it. And I want to educate people, like, listen, the only way out is through. You don't have to do it in my group, but I do feel like I'm able to connect the dots a little faster than some people who are in talk therapy for years. And I know, because I've been in talk therapy for years and nothing ever got connected or resolved. And it just, like, sometimes we have to go through certain experiences in our lives for the nail to really hit us on the head and be like, okay, wow, I think I've repeated this pattern now enough times. What is behind this? And I think, honestly, that's where the collective is getting to at this point. That's my conclusion. One of my conclusions from all the research of talking to hundreds of people in the car, people are fed up with things not working for them. They're fed up with the crap, shallow dating advice on YouTube that is just useless, and not completely useless, but I think it's misleading people. So I'm about being authentic and getting to the heart of things in a loving way in a safe space.
You know, it seems to me that there are just a tremendous amount of connections between mind, body, and spirit, and that I'm more and more convinced that you really just can't divide the three of those things. You can't think of one without the other. You can't think of any of them not existing.
Yes.
I wonder what you think about that. And I wonder what, you know, sort of role your faith has in your approach and your experience and kind of how your work happens.
Thank you for that. Yes, I am. My work is very faith-based. I'm not here to hit people over the head with any religion. However, when I say I feel called by God, that is the truth. Like, I have prayed, you know, I've prayed over all these people that I've talked to in the car and my former clients and just, you know, anybody that I come in contact with. And I am just starting to feel a cascade, like we're going over a waterfall. We are hitting some kind of major breaking point where people are waking up to their trauma patterns. Me personally, I believe it is part of God's path for us to come home to who we really are in the light of God's love. And that is definitely, I mean, I'm trying to stay general with it because I respect all faiths. I walk the Christian path and I'm very much trying to live by the word of Jesus. And I have a number on my website, you know, you can read a little bit more, where I have a very real sense of where some of these things like narcissism come from in a biblical sense, that it's not a new thing. It may be a newer diagnosis, but it's not a new thing at all. And to sum up my answer, I would say, I firmly believe we are in a spiritual war. I didn't want to believe it for many years, but I have come home to that truth. I was hiding before, and now I'm like, no, I have to stay with God's army, and I have to help free people. Because I think our childhood trauma, our wounding, is a gateway where bad things get in and start influencing us. And I just don't want that for people. I want people to wake up.
Yeah, I think that's really powerful. I think another powerful gateway that you've identified and that you've experienced in your life is your music. And I think your faith and your music are probably also tied together. What role does the music have in this group in particular, and also just generally speaking, what role does your music have in, you know, the healing journeys that you walk along with other people?
Yes, I very much, even in my other like purpose coaching I was doing, I involved my music. I love to do guided meditations with people, and I used to call them channeled. I don't believe, now that I'm a little bit more devout on the Christian path, I don't like to say channeled because I think it gets kind of new age witchy, but, you know, received from God. Like, I like to just improvise a guided meditation, and then while I'm in a group session with people, based on, you know, what we've been talking about and what I think will help them. And then later set it to music and make it available for them. Music that usually that I compose. So that's one way. And, you know, just performing my songs, it used to answer, like performing my songs, especially like on social media, because for the last several years, that's been the way we've been called, is to share things more online. and I was doing that. And I think at the time I felt called to share my music, and I got a lot of beautiful responses from that. Emotionally, I think I have to admit, part of me was doing it like more out of my ego, like I needed validation. I was doing it more out of my wounding. Nowadays, I am much more like, God, how may I serve my people through my gifts? And that includes my music for sure. And the more I listen to and record and perform my own songs, the more they become like God's word. There are songs I've written that the meaning is just becoming clear to me, that I wrote years ago. The meaning is just now becoming really clear and relevant to me. It's so interesting. It's as if my higher self, my future self, my angels, or God was encoding things in my songs for me to come back to. And I can only imagine if they help me, they must maybe help other people as well, you know, in ways that I can't imagine. So my goal is to use my music more to help, you know, market my group for lack of a better word, but not as a marketing gimmick, but as an outreach, you know, to just get people to sit still and be with their emotions, because that is step one. Like I said, the only way out of these toxic loops that the chemicals in our brain have us in when we are gripped by CPTSD, the only way out is through. And it starts with connecting dots and feeling through your emotions. Definitely doesn't end with that, and we can't leave people hanging. But I am humbled to hope that my music can help just soften people and open people up to sitting with themselves, with their feelings, with their truth.
Yeah, that is really beautiful. This podcast is called What's Worthwhile? And it's a question that I'm asking myself, you know, quite a bit lately. And, you know, some of the things that are really significant and important to me are building bridges between people and, you know, getting past just the surface level animosity and noise that we see kind of all the time.
Yes. Yes.
And also finding true kind of health and fitness, and
yes,
finding ways to be healthy across the whole, you know, mind, body, and spirit, and not just doing quick fixes and doing partial solutions. And so that I'm resonating with a lot of what you're saying, but I'd like to ask you that question directly. Kind of what's worthwhile for you these days? You know, what is it that sort of catches your attention and that you're focusing on kind of in your life and in the world?
And I love that question so much, Ramsey. I think it's like the best name for a podcast. It's so good. And like I told you, the intro, all of you listening, if you haven't listened to Ramsey's like 4-minute intro, definitely go listen to that, because he asks all the what's worthwhile questions. And it's enough for an infinite podcast. And it's definitely the pursuit of the humans is to ask what's worthwhile. So I love that question. It's my honor to answer it, I guess, in my way, which would be, it's worthwhile to heal. It's worthwhile to, you know, my number one answer is it's worthwhile to come home to God, and whatever that means to you, but to stop being distracted by things that are not God. And I can tell you from my professional and spiritual opinion, your wounding, all of this trauma and things that happen to you, they are not you, but I believe they are not of God. I believe they're inflicted on us by the other side. And I mentioned, I think this is a very worthwhile spiritual battle that we're in, not to scare people, but to offer the hope that personally I have felt for the last several years since I've been aware of it, that we're winning. So that's the good news. We're winning. We're definitely winning. Mm-hmm. I can no longer sit by and watch anybody fall under the wheels of these tanks. I can't do it. I can't do it anymore. I can't do it. It's breaking my heart. So I'm here to do what I can to help people get on their feet and stand the battle with us. So I think it's worthwhile to understand that, to understand God's word and what he wants us to do, because that answers how to fight this battle.
So what can people do now, that people who are listening to this and who are struggling and perhaps they feel trapped or despair or lost. What do you recommend? What do you say to them? What do you ask them, and what can they do next?
What I offer is just one of many resources. I am so blessed to be, you know, I think among a growing army, if you will, of people offering help and concrete solutions, helping you connect the dots, helping you heal your trauma and come home to God and who you really are. So if you don't, if my aura doesn't resonate with you, I hope you will find, you know, a therapist, which there's so many beautiful modalities out there. And there's so much more coverage by healthcare I've found now for therapy and psych services and this kind of thing. Reach out to somebody. You know, if you really are in a dark place, reach out to the suicide hotline, reach out to a dear friend, reach out to a family member. I can guarantee you, you're not alone, even in feeling what you're feeling. And I can also guarantee you that what you're feeling is valid and it's real to you, but the thoughts that you're thinking to be feeling that are not the truth. I want people to know that. I think there's thoughts being filled in our heads that are not.
They don't define
the truth. Yes, they don't define who you are or your end game. So I wish someone had been able to tell someone I love that. I really do.
And that it's not their true self. That's not from them. It's from outside, and it's being foisted upon them for lack of a better phrase.
Yes. Yes. And yes.
What is the what's the official name of your group, and how do people find it, and how can someone join the group when they want to?
Thank you. My group's called my group is actually called What's Real. So it kind of is funny that serendipitous with the name of your podcast, but it's called What's Real, and it's an acronym RREAL, Relationship Recovery for Empaths and Lightworkers. And you can go to liftedby.love, www.liftedby.love. That's my website. And find out more information just about how the group works and about me and my background, and can sign up. It's really affordable. It's just it's a monthly subscription, basically. And the right now I have the first week is, you know, you can cancel anytime, but if you just really attend the first session, you're like, oh, it's really is it for me? 100% refund, no questions asked. I just want people to be comfortable. I just want people to feel at home. And I want to build a beautiful, loving community of people supporting each other so that nobody ever feels alone again.
Well, that that sounds absolutely wonderful. And thank you so much. Thank you not just for having this conversation, but thank you for investing so much time and your spirit and energy into helping other people. And, you know, even the 10 minutes that you take when someone's in the back of your car, that you give them that space and that opportunity to really express themselves and to feel heard and to get some insight and understanding from you. Like, that's amazing. I hope that people thank you for that. And of course, I hope they give you big tips when they're in the back of the car. But it's really, really terrific. And I'm so glad that we had a chance to talk today. Before we wrap up, is there anything else that you'd like to offer or share?
Well, thank you so much, Ramsey. Thank you for your good work in the world. Thank you for asking the questions that are very worthwhile. Because I think your work really is parallel to mine, because I think in asking the right questions and going deeper, we get people out of a rut of thinking that they needed to maybe, you know, just get over that ledge a little bit and see a new perspective. So thank you as well for this time. Yes. and this space for me to open up and tell my story a little bit and share what I'm working on. And yes, I would love, as a musician, not as a songwriter, I would love to leave people with a song, a recording of a song that I did a couple years ago, and it's slated for my upcoming album, which is actually called Prayers. And this song was a prayer. It literally came to me as I was waking up one morning, literally like trying to connect with God, but feeling very lost and feeling very frustrated, overwhelmed. Many of the things I was describing earlier when I said I've been there, this song came out of a time when I was there. And all I was asking God for was some evidence. I was like, if you're there, you know, please help me. I just need to know you're still in there. You're still in resonance. My heart's still beating with you, God, and yours with mine. And so that's the name of the song. It's called Evidence. And so I would love to share that with your listeners.
Well, I know exactly how you feel about that, and here is Evidence.
When the dark is knocking at my door, don't think I can take it anymore. I surrender to the mess inside. I burrow deep and try to hide. I just need a little evidence. self-evident. On the days I stumble, lost and cold, bring me back to where your love enfolds me. Cause I know I can't do this alone. I need your everlasting arms to hold me. I just need a little
Thank you for asking What's Worthwhile. Visit whatsworthwhile.net to learn more about me, Ramsey Zimmerman. And please provide your name and email to become a supporter. I'm asking for prayer, advice, feedback, and connections. The What's Worthwhile podcast is on Spotify, Apple, iHeart, and Amazon. You can also listen at whatsworthwhile.net. Thanks.